Turn your Bibles, we'll on over there to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Last time we took a look at these verses here coming from where we left off over in chapter 5 about the headship of Christ, and coming on over here to chapter number 6 and came down here to this, and we read some of it and talked about it a little bit here about our wrestling and verse number 12. And who that is with, that it is not a wrestling of flesh and blood. But here in verse number 10, I want to concentrate on some of that and some thoughts about that to try to expound upon it and consideration of it. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, as the Apostle Paul he's giving a salutation, he's closing off the book to this church at Ephesus. There in Asia Minor, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He tells about the wiles of the devil, which we talked about last time. He talks about a wrestling in verse number 12. Then he's going towards talking about the whole armor of God. But let's take a look here this afternoon about this being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Are you strong? Are you strong? Are you strong in any way? You know, this verse is not talking about being physically strong. Okay, it's not talking about being muscular. It's not, at least not in its main thrust and its area of consideration. You know, there's times that we do need bodily strength, but the thought here is talking about spiritual things, spiritual strength, and that's indicated here by what it says in the coming verses. We can know that because it says here that we need to be strong in the Lord. Okay, it doesn't call us to be strong in ourselves, but to be strong in the Lord, strong in Him. This reference to the Lord, I believe that it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over here in John chapter 20. Take a look over here in John chapter 20. Thomas chose not to go to church services, right? He wasn't there with the disciples and the apostles when the Lord appeared to him. And the next week, he was told about the appearing of the Lord to the disciples. And we pick it up in verse number 24. But Thomas, John 20, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and pardon me, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. So somehow the Lord comes right in there. And listen to what he says. Then saith he to Thomas, he deals with Thomas right off the bat, according to the scriptures, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. You know, he worshiped the Lord in that. He honored the Lord. And in that, I think there's many things that speaks of, but he's saying, you're my Savior. You're the one that I'm going to take orders from. What you want me to do, that I will do. He also says, my Lord and my God. He said, you are God. God come down in the flesh. You've risen from the dead. Doesn't say anything here about Thomas having to put his finger into the nail prints or having to put his hand in the side. He didn't have to go that far, did he? But when he saw the Lord, he said, and Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. And then that's there in Ephesians 6:10. He says, be strong in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same word here for Lord in John 20:28 as it is in Ephesians 6:10. And so we're to be strong in Jesus. I believe that we can see that and understand that. This is a spiritual affair, isn't it? And the following verses there in Ephesians, you turn back to Ephesians 6, and I mentioned about this. You know, it says this is a spiritual affair because it says to put on this armor, which we'll deal with in coming times. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and his methodia, his methods. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That tells us right there it's not physical. We don't have a mission this week for the church that we'll load up with our armor and go out here and fight against somebody physically. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we see there that it tells us plainly we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. It's not a bodily, physical thing in its main thrust. It's a spiritual strength that this is talking about. And it is a battle and it is a warfare indeed, maybe even more intense than a physical one. If we were in a physical battle, we would have times of respite, and then we would have times that we would maybe meet together, load up, and we'd go down here and battle a battle, right, against the adversary if it was a physical kind of thing. That's the way soldiers do and such. But the spiritual battle that we have, it wages continuously, doesn't it? There's a warfare within. We've got a battle within and a battle without, don't we? If you're saved, you should. We got a warfare within and a warfare without. And so it is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. Again, it says that we deal with spiritual wickedness in high places. And our battle and our warfare is indeed spiritual. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll just go ahead and read from verse number 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you, he begs them, the church at Corinth, the members in that church, by the mercies and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. They have a great dealing there about Paul's authority and speaking to them, dealing with them, rebuking them, admonishing them. And so he's wanting them to hear the words of the Lord, hear the words of the apostle, that they might be helped. But listen to what he says here. For though we walk in the flesh, that's this, right? This is physical life. You can put your hands on it, touch it, okay? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It's a spiritual affair. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't have swords and staves and shields and all that. We've got some armory room downstairs in the church house. That's not all our warfare is. They're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The stronghold of that sinner that's dead and trespasses and sins and got that old hard, stony heart. And miraculously, somehow, by the preaching of the Word of God, by this church, the Lord has taken that Word and with the moving of the Spirit of God has broken that heart and brought folks to salvation. And that's a wonderful victory in a spiritual battle, isn't it? By standing for the truth of what the church is and letting that be heralded out. We've got a testimony and a witness, I trust, that's going out into the community and the region from our church that maybe it'll be a witness of true things to folks that they might be brought into the salvation and the fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with the saints, or one day it'll be used at the judgment that they would stand before. I'd rather it be used for the former than the latter, but the Lord knows, you know. We don't wrestle anybody into the truth, do we? But we proclaim it. But somehow people can be overcome with wickedness and sin, and by holding forth the truth of God's Word and preaching in that, they can be changed. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You know, and we've got our place in it. And remember, these weapons are mighty. They're mighty, what's it say? Through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. I tell you what, conviction. Conviction by the Lord is just a wonderful thing. You know, you and I, we could take somebody and try to pin them down and get them to confess about their sin or confess about something that's wrong in their life or confess and repent about being a sinner before God. We could try to get them to do that and try to get them to do that. And they would more die than do that by us physically trying to do that to them. You know what I'm saying? They might say it even with their mouth, but wouldn't mean it with their heart. But the conviction of the Lord, it'll cause the sinner to have a change of mind, won't it?
Amen.
You know, to reveal things about themselves and tell things about themselves that you and I couldn't pry out of them. But because of the conviction of the Lord, they say, God's right and I'm wrong. And you know what? And they believe it. You know, their heart is turned and changed. That's mighty. That is mighty. You know, the old saying goes, he that's convinced against his will be of the same opinion still, right? Because we can't change hearts. But the Word of God and the Spirit of God can. And the preaching of the truth of God's Word, that's what the Lord chooses to use. And man, when He gets a hold of it, they're mighty through God, aren't they? Take those hearts and crush them. They'll fall upon that rock, upon that stone, and be broken. Amen? He says here, they're not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. And then verse 5, casting down imaginations, and the casting down of every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Think about the Apostle Paul. When he was Saul, Pharisee of the Pharisees. Man, he was top drawer Pharisee. I mean, if they'd have been putting out baseball cards or Pharisee cards, he would have been the first card you'd want to have, right? I mean, he was, and the Lord took all that and broke down all that religion and broke down all that self-righteousness and that vain glory. He took all that and broke that down and to where the man's laying there on the ground, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Yeah. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The wonder of the Word of God. How a man that I've heard of and known, I can't give you his name right now, but he sought to go into the Word of God, and he was going to take and prove the Bible wrong. That's great. I love to hear somebody make that challenge and be diligent about doing so. And you know what that man started doing? He started reading that Bible and he started looking for the pitfalls and the problems in her. He's looking into the Word of God to prove God wrong and prove all that wrong. And you know what the Lord did to him? He broke him down and saved him. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? That's what the Lord, every high thing, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. May the Lord help us that our thoughts be brought into the captivity, be brought captive by the Lord and the obedience of Christ. And so this warfare is spiritual. The Scripture here indicates that even though we walk physically, we live in this body physically, our warfare is not in this physical body, but it's rather a spiritual one. You know what? We'll see that even in this spiritual battle, that as a side note, this spiritual battle, it will and can affect us physically. And may the Lord help me that even though, may the Lord help me to serve the Lord well and be a good pastor to you and your families and be an obedient servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it costs me my physical life, may the Lord help me to remember the Lord. Remember, the Lord gave it all. And see, this old body, it doesn't like serving the Lord. This old mind, it doesn't want to serve the Lord. I was told of, and came to know here recently about a brother. He's been pastoring for some time. And it may be that he's got some autoimmune problems and may even have lupus. And I can just about guarantee you that it's probably from the strain of pastoring. And I know in his situation, what some that I know about it, he's got a load on him. He's got a strain. But he with the Lord's help, he's going to continue right on. And by his own testimony away, if it cost him his health and cost him his life, he's going to use it up for the Lord. He's just persuaded to that. May the Lord help us that we be of that same mind. Amen. The Lord gave it all for us. Should I hold back my skin for him? I know those are easy words, and they're big words that are very easy to say, but when it gets down to it, may the Lord help. The Apostle Paul, he gave of himself physically, did he? For the cause of the spiritual warfare and the spiritual battle. I've not strived to the point of losing any blood. But if I was called upon to do so, may the Lord help. Amen. And so this battle is physical, and the spiritual may affect the physical. May the Lord help us to put the priority, keep the priority where it is. It is the inner man that is going on to glory with a new body, created and made in righteousness, no sin. I'm going to catch up with my saved body one day. And I know we need to be good stewards of what the Lord gives us. We don't need to be abusive, but this isn't the body that's going on to be with the Lord. It's going to be a body like Christ. So why would I want to save this? It's dying. And I'm going to talk about not being a good steward, but we need to get our priorities, have our priorities right. May the Lord help in that. Our weapons aren't carnal. This scripture that here in 2 Corinthians 10 reinforces. It's not an item on earth that you can touch, but it is spiritual. And then mighty through God, we talked about that. And he has created these weapons that we're going to be looking about here in the coming services. He's created these, and they're very, very strong because of God's power. It says there, finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We need to remember that God is a spirit. There's some more information that will help us about understand this subject and what the Lord Jesus Christ and what he said to the woman at the well. Turn to John chapter 4. Take a look here. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual affair. Without the Spirit of God dwelling within, you won't even know what the battle is. When is it so that when you hear the preaching about this battle or this warfare that's supposed to be within the child of God, is it news to you? If you don't understand about it, then you might want to consider about the salvation of your soul. Because it is real. It is there. Maybe it's time for you to learn about it. Maybe you've never understood or noted that it's the case, and so maybe it's time for you to grow up and learn about it. God is a spirit. And it says here, the Lord speaking to this woman here at the well at Sychar in Samaria, he says to her, let's back up and we'll get the, try to get the thought. Verse number 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. She's asked about worshiping in Mount Gerizim. The Jews say to worship in Jerusalem. She says this mountain, I understand it to be Mount Ebal, or Mount Gerizim is where she's at. And he says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Geography won't matter. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. See, the Lord said he's going to put his name in Jerusalem. And the word of God coming to the Jews, it ultimately and yields and ultimately ends up at the manifestation of Jesus Christ. But he says, the hour cometh in verse 23, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Lord's looking for folks, and not that he's challenged in it, but that's what the Lord desires. When it talks about the desire and the will of the Lord, he desires to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. You hath he quickened, Ephesians 2:1, who were dead in trespasses and sins. It's only by life and by the Spirit of God living within that we can have any fellowship and really be able to worship God. We can't worship the God devoid of the Spirit. Can't do it. And so the Lord's looking for those and desires those that will worship him not only in spirit but in truth. And who gives truth? The Lord does. right out of His Word. This is how we have the truth, is what God says. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth by reiterating, by saying again and proclaiming His name, by telling what He's told us. You ever notice that? We don't meet together and seek to worship the Lord by expounding upon your new thought of the day or my new thought of the day, but we do so by meeting together and telling what God says in His Word again. We just keep repeating it over and over again. And I hope as pastor I kind of spread it out and cover some ground, but we worship the Lord in His truth and by His Spirit. And so it just reaffirms that this is a spiritual thing. He says in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Talking to one of the church members here earlier, and they talked about some that they were exposed to in that, and some different things that they saw in the past week. And it seems like they were exposed to some spirits, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit of God. May claim, may be saved, okay? A person may be saved and have the Spirit of God living within, but if we don't worship the Lord according to the truth, we're not worshiping Him. Takes both. Takes the Spirit and takes the truth to worship the Lord. And that's what the Lord is well pleased in. It says, God is a Spirit, and it says in John chapter 1, verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So no man has seen God, or if you will, the Father, only the Son, this is in John chapter 1, verse 18, only the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He's been the one that's been able to declare Him. You know, this passage there in John 1, 18, it makes it clear that no man has ever seen God because He is a Spirit. But it goes on to tell us that the only begotten Son, Jesus, because that's what John chapter 1 is talking about, is the manifestation of God, the Son. He had declared or told us about the Father or God, and because He has been very, very close to the Father in His bosom, it says. That's how close Jesus is to the Father in His bosom. And you know what? He's been able to tell us about the Father, just like He did the woman there at the well, right? And speaks to us in that. And He tells us the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming in the flesh. It makes it possible that He can tell us about our great God, who is a Spirit, and we can have fellowship spiritually by salvation through Him with this great God. You know, think about that. I mean, in these bodies, we can't go to where God is. If we did appear before Him in His presence, we would burn up. But yet, the Lord has made it to where we can have fellowship with Him right here, right now. However far it is. And if you pick up and you take a trip and later on in the week you find yourself halfway around the world on the other side, you can still have fellowship with Him. Because it's spiritual. It's a whole, our salvation is a spiritual affair. It affects us physically, but our warfare is spiritual. The Lord Jesus Christ, He says in John 30, I and my Father are one. You know, God and Jesus are the one and the same. Be strong in the Lord. We're to be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. The Lord is God. God is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. It says in Isaiah 6, 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Not just Jesus, who is a Son of God or a prophet of God, but strong in Jesus, the Lord who is God. Okay? And then I want you to take a look here in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and just this, you know, our line of thinking is here in Ephesians 6:10. Brethren, my father, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, be in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Who is the Lord? It's Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. Okay, He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. And here in John 14, as the Lord is speaking to his disciples, in verse number 5, we pick it up. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Listen to this. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Okay, that's good. I mean, the Jews, you know, the Jews had in great, they held their lineage in great esteem, right? They're the children of Abraham. And Abraham was very special to God. And so it's God, Jehovah God, that they worship, right? And so when the Lord says, I'll show you the Father, you know, and it makes this indication about showing them the Father, Philip's really interested in that. He says, if you would have known me, verse 7, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. See that? He's like, man, talk about, I mean, that'll be the nail to just like drive down on it. That'll just pin it down. And there won't be any doubt or any issue anymore. Just show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. This is what the Lord says. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. See, Jesus is preeminent. He's the beginning and the end. It all stops. It all starts and it all ends with Jesus Christ. And it is in him the word be strong. It is in him. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, I asked earlier, I said, are you strong? And you may be physically strong. And we have a time in our youth that we grow up and we get stronger for a time. These young folks, you know, they're growing up and they're getting stronger as they get older. You know, but there comes a time in life, a point that we're the most physically strong that we'll ever be. And then after that, we just start getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker till we get so weak that we can't draw that last breath, you know, just in the normal course of things. But it's not talking about being physically strong, is it? Being strong in the Lord. Even when we think our physical strength is at its greatest, we know that it won't last very long. In the grand scheme of God's creation, indeed, we are not very strong, are we? So if we're not physically strong while we live, can we be spiritually strong, especially when we die? You know, if we have this great challenge about physical strength, and it's just, it is at its greatest, it's very small, our physical strength. And we see in the grand scheme of things that really our strength physically even is not very great. Can we be very strong spiritually, especially when we die? You know, the scripture says, and as I referred to earlier in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The scripture tells us in this that the Lord, he makes us alive because we're physically dead. He gives us life. Now, you that are here and not saved, you say, well, I'm already alive. Well, physically you're alive, but spiritually you're not. You need spirit life, and it's only going to be in the Lord. That's what the Lord does when he saves sinners. He makes us alive spiritually. What can you and I do after we're dead? Nothing. We can do very little while we're alive, and then after we're dead, we can do nothing. Why? Because we are very, very weak physically, and naturally, we are spiritually dead. You know what? We're not even strong enough to hang on to life physically or attain it spiritually, are we? I mean, we're weak. When it gets down to it, in and of ourselves, we are weak. How do you keep your heart beating? How do you keep your mind, your brain working? And so To be strong in ourselves isn't much of a claim, is it? It isn't much. It isn't much at all. But the Lord says, and Scripture says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And the Lord says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We need rest in salvation. We need rest from our sin, because the wages of sin is death, isn't it? It says in Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You that are here and not saved, you're weak. And you can only have life through the Lord. We either hear that are saved, or we're weak too. But we can have strength in our Lord. He says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our sin, our wickedness, it drags us down. And He commands we who are weak to come to Him who is strong. How is it that the Lord is strong? Look here in Matthew 28. And as we talk about this relative to the church and the commission that we have, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And Matthew 28:18, it says here, then Jesus came and spake unto them, says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's got all the power. That word power speaks of many things, which include spiritual and physical strength. You know, so the Lord can, having all power, be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. If we need physical strength, the Lord's got it, and He can give it. If we need spiritual strength, the Lord's got it, and He can give it. He can do that for us. He has it all. And that's the reason that the Apostle Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In Isaiah 45, verse 21, it says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared from this ancient time, or who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. He's got it all. That's the reason that the apostle declares to us in the Scripture that we don't need to be strong in ourselves. It's not by grit and determination of ourselves, but it's in the strength of the Lord and in the power of His might. There's no other God but the Lord Jesus. No other God but the Lord Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, one God Almighty, who has manifested Himself in these three persons. There is no one more powerful than Him. Turn over to John chapter 10. Here's how much power and the manifestation of the greatness of the Lord's power that He has. In John chapter 10, verse number 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. When the Scripture says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, here is how much power He has. Power to die, and then even though being dead, power to take His life back again. I think that's a pretty good source, don't you? What can we do when we're dead? Nothing. But what did the Lord do when He was dead? Took His life back when He wanted to. Amen? He took it. That's how much power the Lord has. We don't need to fear about the Lord being able, do we? We've read it right. He laid down His life that He might take it again. He says, no man took it from me. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down. It looked like they crucified him that day, didn't it? It looked like they killed our Lord. And as men, and in the physical sense and in the thing of this world, men did kill the Lord, but they were only able to do so because he allowed it. And then when it was finished, the scripture says he yielded up the ghost. And 3 days and three nights later, he took it back again. That's how much power he's got. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He has might indeed, doesn't he? He has power. We're weak physically, and we're even more weak or dead spiritually in and of ourselves. But the Lord is strong in every way. And he commands us who are weak to come to him who is strong. The sinner, how does he come? Through repentance and faith. The time is fulfilled, the Lord preached in Mark 1:15. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. He says, I came not, in Luke 5, he said, I came not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. You who are dead in trespasses and sins, you who are weak physically and dead spiritually, you need the Lord. There's no other hope but in him. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To admit before God that you're guilty. And to trust in his Son. That's what he's commanded for you to do. For we that are saved, don't serve him in our own power. Amen. Don't serve him in our own strength. But serve him in his strength. How do I do that, Brother Jim? Yield to him. Pray to him. Fill up on his word. And then in everything that you encounter in life, ask the Lord to work in it and use you in a way that he'd be pleased. So many times we hear, and it's a blessing of the Lord, and the Lord teaches us and he brings us along, we say, well, I didn't know the Lord could work that out that way. But he does. He's able. A thing looks impossible to us. It looks like it's just a flat out dead end. But you know what we're to do on dead ends? We're to pray for the Lord to manifest his power. Amen? Because he knows of things and can do things that we don't even know about. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. As a final thought, I think there's one verse that sums up and should be our understanding in this consideration of this verse in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The attitude of our heart and the way of our heart, the way of our pursuit is this, as I think we find it in Philippians 4, verse number 13. I think when we hear that command from the Lord, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, I think that this needs to be the thought of our heart and the thought of our mind. And as we seek to serve the Lord, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13, I think this is our answer to that. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's got the power. We're the vessel. We're confronted by whatever it is we're confronted by as we walk in the flesh, right? Walk in this body. And then when we deal with the spiritual warfare or we deal with the physical things, I can do all things that Christ wants me to do. I can do everything and do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I don't have any power on my own. I don't have salvation on my own, but I am saved. And I don't have a spiritual discernment on my own, but I can from the Word of God and the working of the Spirit within me. And then whatever I face or whatever it is the Lord calls me to do, I can do it through the Lord that gives the power. Gives the strength, gives the help. We need to seek the Lord's face in all things, and don't forget to go to him in prayer. This is what we need to believe concerning the command of our Lord in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I need him in every way. Some people think, and there's an attitude, and it's just because of a lack of teaching or a lack of desire to serve the Lord, or however it is that, you know, once a person's saved, they're just sent out on their way to go ahead and live life. Well, you know what happens to a baby that's just born and just take them out here in the street and leave them? They'll die. Because they got to grow, don't they? They got to learn. You know, a child of God needs to learn. And I've asked this question in the past, you know, from this time last year, spiritually, to this time this year, to now, have you grown spiritually? Have you grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? Are you and I submitting more to obeying Christ and submitting to Him and what He's commanded in His Word? Are we growing? Are we stagnant? Are we, I pray we're not going backwards. We need to grow. We need to grow. We need to learn. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, what He can do. When it's impossible, that's when the Lord goes to work. And may we always remember that, and may we seek His face and help in all things.